Okay.
Now, what do you want to know?
Okay. What I'm going to do is, first of all, read a brief introduction about what we're doing. That thing, all the way back. Don't even, that one should be turned off completely. That one. We don't even need to touch that. Okay. And then that one's at
this
the right length.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah. That has to be off completely.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about your family background, your parents' names, mm-hmm. your siblings, where you were born, when, you know, the doctor, if you know that, your childhood, growing up, what it was like for a black child growing up in Harrodsburg in the 50s and 60s. What did you do? What games did you play? Could you go some places but not others? I want to know where you had your hair done.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that was Aunt Frances's.
It was. Yeah.
Do you know if she has a picture of her shop?
Mm-hmm.
There's your businesses mm-hmm. in Harrodsburg.
Yeah.
Your schools, mm-hmm. where you went to school, West Side, Harrodsburg. What year did you graduate?
64.
Okay, I thought we were about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have memories of integration.
Most definitely.
Yeah, okay. Where you went to church, your marriage and your children, if you've worked outside the home, if you had any family members in the military service, because we're Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your involvement in politics, we're going to talk about that 64 March. Involvement in any organizations such as NAACP. Do you remember the first time you voted? Did you have problems with that? You know, did you encounter any at the polls? You know, have others in your family been active in politics? I believe your dad was, mm-hmm. but you probably know more about that than we, you know, the more people we talk to, the more we get more information. And do you have dreams you wish to see fulfilled and your message to this and other generations? And that's going to be the bones, but we add as we go along mm-hmm. based on your responses.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm. You're ready.
Okay. Today is Saturday, February the 22nd, 2014. My name is Candy Atkinson. I will be assisted in this interview today by Anna Armstrong. We have the privilege of talking with Barbara Short Hudson of Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. This interview is being conducted at the Mercer County Public Library by the Harrodsburg Mercer County Oral History Commission. With your permission, Mrs. Hudson, the interview will be available on the Kentucky Oral History Commission website and at the Mercer County Public Library. May we proceed?
Yes.
Good. May I call you Barbara?
Yes.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about your family background? Who were your parents?
Okay, my father was John Short. My mother was Nettie Kendrick Short. They both were born here in Harrodsburg. And my dad worked at Corning, but before that he used to drive for a laundry here on Main Street. I think, I forget, Roy Southern, somebody in the Southerlands.
Down on Greenville Street.
No.
Model
this
Laundry.
This was up on Main Street. Somewhere up on Main Street, as well as I can remember. Might have been Greenville, but I thought it was Main.
Okay.
And then he went to Corning, and he worked as a chauffeur there. And he worked in the Corning sales room. My mother, she did domestic. She worked at the hair shop. And she wound up working in a factory.
Who did she do domestic for? Just one family, or did she just...
Different families.
Different families.
And she also worked for Miss Lord Lake.
Mm-hmm.
She used to go out there and do stuff for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked for different families.
Okay.
What were the typical jobs that domestics did in Harrodsburg?
Cook, clean, wash, iron. Because Mom used to bring stuff home. I can remember Miss Lake, her granddaughter, I think her name was Jerry. She had this real pretty, I always remember, real pretty Allet formal. And Mama bought it home and she ironed it and starched it. I can remember doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to help raise people's children quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. So they would work all day?
All day.
All day.
They would go early in the morning and they would stay all day.
Do you have any knowledge of what kind of salary they got?
Very little.
Well, I'm sure very little.
It was probably, if they probably brought home $20 a day, they was doing good.
Really?
What took her to Herrick Fashion? Was that Lee McKinley, or?
She started working for Onita. Onita Burton. Mm-hmm. She worked there because I can remember when I was in school, she worked there. She worked there when they lived at the little shop up near the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And then when they moved down there, she went with them. Mm-hmm. But she worked there. I don't know. I guess she just went up there, was looking for a job, and they hired her.
And what did she do there?
She started cleaning, you know, mm-hmm. after the shop would close. But she wound up just working in there, doing different.
As a salesperson?
She sold a little bit, but she also did the, when stuff would come in, she would stock.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Did very many black women shop at Herod Fashion?
A few. Not very many. Mm-hmm. Most of them, cost-wise, they couldn't afford to. Mm-hmm.
And your father, now he worked at Corning.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do for Corning?
He was a chauffeur. That's what they hired him in as. Uh-huh. But he chauffeured, and he also worked in the Corning sales room. He sold the Corningware.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he never was on the assembly line,
no.
But he was in the front,
mm-hmm.
literally. Whom did he chauffeur?
Any of the people that came in. Any of the people that would come in from Corning, New York, he would have to go to the airport, pick them up, and bring them to the factory. And then when they get ready to leave, he'd have to take them back.
I do hope the company provided a car.
They did, and one time they didn't. And he had to provide his own car.
Huh.
But he brought them from to Harrodsburg, mm-hmm. and then took them back to the airport probably, too.
What years was he doing that? The ballpark of
the year that Corning opened, and that was in the 50s.
Sometime, yeah.
Up until, let's see, Dad died in.
So he started 71. With them when they opened, mm-hmm. pretty much. Yeah.
He was about the second person hired.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he worked there until his death in 71.
Well, okay.
So we could say that he was among the first African Americans hired at Corning, or the first?
He was probably the first, I would say.
Did Corning hire a lot of blacks in the early days?
Yes. Most of the women started out, Corning used to have a cafeteria. Most of the women started out as cooks. And then after they did away with the cafeteria, they wound up being on the assembly line.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the names of some of those cooks?
Oh, yes. Miss Ethel Bradshaw, Fanny Pearl Jackson. My mother worked there for a while in the kitchen. I don't know too many of the others. But I know Mary Hudson, she was the janitor there. She cleaned the restrooms and stuff. So I remember her being there. And she worked there until she retired, doing just that.
Hmm.
Who were your grandparents?
My grandmother on my father's side was, my grandmother was Mary Short. My grandfather was John Short. Now, I never knew him. He died before I was born. On my mother's, it was Mary Kendrick and Gaither Kendrick. And I didn't know my grandfather. I didn't know either one of my grandfathers.
Were they Mercer County people? Were they born in
my
Mercer
grandfather
County,
came. My grandfather on my mother's side came from Monticello. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
My other grandfather, as well as I can remember them saying, I think he came from Springfield.
And they all ended up in Harrodsburg, and then that's where couples met.
Mm-hmm.
And fantastic. What about your brothers and sisters?
One brother.
When were you born, Barbara? What's your birthday?
December 3rd, 1946.
Okay.
You were born in Harrodsburg?
Yes.
Were you born at which hospital? A.D. Price?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the name of the doctor who delivered you?
I can just remember the doctor that took care of me after I got big enough to remember, and that was Dr. Lowry.
Dr. Lowry, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to the hospital, did you go to the basement level, or did you go to some of the other floors? Did the doctor see you downstairs?
I can't remember because I never really went to the hospital. I remember one time I had my tonsils taken out, and I think I was upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I should back up on that. Where did your grandparents reside in Harrodsburg? The Kendricks and the Shorts?
The Kendricks lived on one end of 4th Street, and the Shorts lived on the other end of 4th Street. The bridge, the creek separated the two.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you and Pastor John Short were living at home with your parents, where did you live?
When I was born, they lived on Broadway, right there next to the First Baptist Church. Then they moved to a little house that was up on College Street. And they moved that house, and it used to sit up on the hill by the rock quarry. And then they built the house that we lived in and was raised in on Broadway.
Whereabouts on Broadway? Which?
Right there next to the creek, going up the hill.
Going up the hill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your memories as a child would have been on Broadway?
Mostly.
Right. Tell us what life was like for young black girls growing up in Harrodsburg in the 1950s and 60s.
Well, you know, growing up as a child, I never really thought about it because there was so many of us and we just stayed together and we played together. So.
And you did this in the Broadway area?
In the Broadway area.
You didn't venture out?
We didn't go.
That was home.
That was home. That was right there. You know, Everyone was right there. So that's mainly where we stayed. Mm-hmm. We'd go to my grandmother's and stay down there. It was always a bunch of kids that way, too.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't venture, you know, when we were growing little. Yeah. We didn't venture out.
I know at that time it was easy to have an open door policy. The kids went in one house and played.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that was the whole time I was growing up, even as a teenager. It was like, the whole neighborhood was your parent, your mm-hmm. family, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody looked out for everybody in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Even kids would come from other streets, and they would be treated just like family when they got on that street.
Yeah.
Where did they eat?
Anyone's house.
Anyone's house.
Because if I had food and someone came, they was welcome to eat. Mm-hmm. And it was the same if we went somewhere else.
Who was your BFF, your best friend forever, when you were a little girl?
Wilma Cunningham.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What games did you play? What did you do?
We played ball out in the street. We roller skated. We used to have hula hoop contests over in Wilma and M's yard.
And who was the hula hoop champion?
Brother. My brother, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
I wish we knew when we were interviewing you.
And croquet, because Wilma and them had one in their backyard.
Oh.
And we'd go over there and play in the afternoons.
Yeah.
Did you watch much television?
See, we didn't have a TV until I was probably about 7 years old. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. We watch, but not like kids do now, because we were always outside.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stay in the house.
I was going to ask, were you an outdoor girl mm-hmm. or an indoor girl?
We were outside. We played hide-and-go-seek, red light, all kinds of stuff, you know, just to be outdoors.
Uh-huh.
We'd sit in the grass and braid grass and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Making a daisy chain, mm-hmm. one of those clover chains.
Right.
Did you go places? Did you go skating or to the movies? Or
when we got older, we went skating. We could only skate one night a week at the rink.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday nights, everybody in our neighborhood would go skating. And most of the time, after we got up to some size, we walked. We'd walk to the skating rink and we'd walk home. But we always traveled in a group anyway, so. Right.
Was Wednesday night the night for blacks to
That's go? The only night black could skate.
Were whites there also?
No.
It was your all's night.
It's a star night.
Okay.
Now we're talking about walking from Broadway up to the fairgrounds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then walking back home.
Right.
A little bit of a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the best skater?
Oh, let's see. Probably, I'm trying to think. Probably Ansel Smith, because he was pretty good.
I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we always had a bunch of people would come in from out of town when we would skate on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
We had groups that would come from Lexington.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There would be 3 or 4 carloads of guys, especially, would come over and roller skate.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really good because they skated like you see on TV now.
Yeah. Did they come because they knew people here, or were there not opportunities in Lexington?
There was opportunities in Lexington, but they knew us, and they would just come over
on Wednesdays.
For the fellowship and the fun, mm-hmm. right.
What did it cost to go skiing?
50 cents.
50 cents mm-hmm. for the whole evening.
Mm-hmm. Was that your allowance for the week, or how did you do that?
I didn't get an allowance.
Right. You just, so the parents...
They would just give us 50 cents yeah. to go skating.
Well, they've just torn the skating rink down, mm-hmm. so it's gone. So all those memories. Wish we had some photographs of people skating.
And I don't think anyone ever took pictures while we were in there.
Well, it's scarcer than hen's teeth, mm-hmm. as they say. I've been looking and looking. We haven't had any luck at all.
We'd do that, and we would, after we get out of Nashville, see, we'd go to the ball games. Mm-hmm. And we would walk there, too. Mm-hmm. We walked to school in the mornings in a group, as always. And we'd walk home in the afternoons. And we'd walk back at night to the ball games mm-hmm. and walk back home.
Yeah. Did most families have automobiles? Mm-hmm. But, of course, those would be reserved mm-hmm. for the parents to use.
In the morning, see, the parents had to work. So.
The thought of taking their children someplace never crossed their minds.
And a lot of times, especially the mothers, they may have to be at work before we left home.
Yeah.
What about we didn't have a public bus system for the Harrodsburg schools at that time. It was under contract. Were you welcome to ride the bus if you were so inclined?
We was, but we never wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about your doctor, mm-hmm. you know. And, well, who was your dentist?
Oh, Lord, I went to Dr. Reitmeier.
Yeah, I remember
mm-hmm.
him.
What about the beauty shop?
Frances, my auntie.
And where was her shop?
On Lexington Street. It was facing Lexington, but the side was on Facade Street.
Did she have a black and white clientele, or did it was
she had black and clientele?
Now, back in the 60s, back in the 50s and 60s, we were wearing our hair flipped and teased and all types of things like that. How did you wear your hair?
We in the 60s, we were being introduced to relaxers to take the natural curl out of your hair.
Mm-hmm. So that most was a popular, mm-hmm. popular thing.
Yeah, because back then, that was before the movement really with the Black Power stuff mm-hmm. had really gotten into. So most people was trying to get their hair to look like everybody else's. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it straight, yeah. long, flip.
Right. Was that successful? Did those things work?
It worked.
It worked. Mm-hmm.
It worked.
Okay. Can we go back a minute to mm-hmm. Broadway when you were growing up? Lots of houses.
Mm-hmm.
What other businesses, what else was along Broadway that you can remember? Anything in particular?
Trainer's Grocery Store.
Trainer's Grocery Store.
At the corner of Broadway and College. Because we used to walk there to get candy and stuff.
Okay, Broadway and College.
And then
the
was,
YMCA mm-hmm. is on one corner. And where was Trainers in relation to that?
It's over, or right across the street.
Across the street on the other side.
There's some office buildings there now, I think.
Oh, where Mike Conover
mm-hmm.
is. Okay.
There was a grocery store.
That
there.
Was Trainers Grocery mm-hmm. Store. Gosh, I wish we had some photographs of that.
And then there was one at the top of Broadway. And now it's a restaurant.
Okay, where Granny's restaurant
yes,
is.
Because it was right across from West Side. Because mm-hmm. when we went to school there, they would always tell us, when you go to recess, don't you go across the street.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got Trainer's Grocery and the other one. Then we had the church on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Baptist.
Yeah.
And that's where most of us went.
First Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your memories of that church?
That was one place where we could always go and be together, you know, and just feel, you know, like we had older ladies there in the church that worked with us, and they made us feel like we were just one family. Mm-hmm. And that was always a meeting place for us. I mean, we went to everything. My age group, we went to Sunday school, we went to morning service, we went to BTU, we went to the usher board, we had a junior choir. We did everything right in there.
Sunday was a church day.
It was a church day.
Church
it was
activity.
It was an, most of the time it was an all day.
All day you mm-hmm. were involved in some sort mm-hmm. of church activity.
What was your average attendance right back then? Late 50s, early 60s.
It might have been about 75. It's probably more then than it is now.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Who was the minister?
When I was going there, it was Reverend George Shales.
Do you remember where you were baptized?
At First Baptist.
They had an indoor baptistry. Mm-hmm. Because I've heard that, you know, in the early days that people were baptized at that creek.
Yeah, no, I was baptized in the baptistry. Oh, no. Right. That creek was nasty.
Yeah. By that time, I'm sure it probably was, yes. Did you have a favorite Bible verse?
No, not really.
Mm-mm. A favorite song that you sang?
Not that I can remember, not a favorite.
Were you part of the choir?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a children's choir there, and we were all in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was the leader?
The lead singer or the organist?
Both, uh-huh.
The lead singer was Wilma.
Was Wilma Cunningham.
And the lady that played for us was Minnie Bell Teller.
We've talked about what you and your friends did for fun and activities. Now, what about the adults? What did they do for a night out on the town or for fun? What did they do? Did they have clubs?
There was restaurants when I was growing up because my dad owned one.
And what did he own?
Broadway Cafe.
He owned, was at what time frame was this?
40s? 40s up into the 60s.
40s through the 60s? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you go there?
I went there to help work.
Didn't have any fun there?
Well, on Sunday afternoons, my auntie, she was downstairs, so she would let the teenagers, we'd come in and we could bop hop, and we could dance, you know.
Yeah.
And she let us in there to do that. Now, upstairs, they had was an adult club where they went up there.
What did they do upstairs?
Oh, I hate to think about it. I don't even want to play.
Do you know what they did up there? Was there a pool table in downstairs?
They had a pool hall on the other side.
Right.
There was a the Broadway sit on the corner of Broadway and
Charles.
And there was a house
right next door to it.
And there used to be a pool room upstairs. It was an upstairs because mm-hmm. People lived in the downstairs.
Uh-huh.
But there was sad stairs and the pool room was upstairs.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of an area in town called Smoky Row?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because we've read a portion of Broadway was called Smoky Row at one time. So I wonder if that's...
And then there was another restaurant here called the Wagon Wheel.
Right.
And it was over on Lexington Street across from the fort or the park.
Who ran that?
My cousin, Mary Catherine Brandt, and Lou, she was Chanel.
Okay, whereabouts on Lexington across from the fort? That's a pretty big stretch up there.
Okay, it's the corner of Facade and Lexington, right across from Lolita's.
Oh, okay.
Lolita and lived on this side, and the restaurant.
And the restaurant was on
mm-hmm.
the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in later years, they got an ice cream fountain. Because we could never go to the gym store and sit there and drink
mm-hmm.
milkshakes and have sundaes and stuff. So they had one. She fixed
that
up.
So the Wagon Wheel had one fixed up.
She fixed one. They bought one and put it in there. So we always went.
Mm-hmm. When did it go out of business? Do you have any idea?
It was probably in the late 50s, maybe 60, something like mm-hmm. that. Something like that, early 60s.
Any photographs?
This was a period of time we had Sunday Blue Laws.
Ruth Ann may have some photographs because her auntie was the lady that owned that.
Yeah. Didn't see Ruth Ann.
Mm-hmm. There was a period of time where you couldn't be open on Sundays. Were any of these businesses and stores that you're talking about, were they open on Sunday?
She would open sometimes on Sunday after church for ice cream. You know, we'd go in and get the ice. After she opened, had the thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Broadway opened up on Sunday afternoon. We'd go down there and listen to music.
Social clubs for the adults. Tell us about those.
Like I say, the women had the Jolly 17 and the 12 Clouds of Joy. And they would have meetings. I guess they had them maybe every week or once a month, but every so often, maybe once or twice a year, they would have a big formal, And I mean, they would go all out. They would decorate that armory. They'd have crepe paper streamers going all over the place, and they would have bands, you know, really good bands to come in and play up there for dances and stuff.
What was the difference between the two clubs?
I think it was age group.
Age groups. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which one would have been older?
The Jolly 17.
And how did that get its name? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because there were 17
original
ladies. There
was 17
ladies
of them. They was probably jolly. That's probably it. And I think it was 12 people in the 12 Clouds of Joy.
Okay. And these clubs started, to the best of your knowledge. Do you have any idea?
Mm-mm. I just remember, as long as I can remember, when I was little.
From the 50s on.
They had one.
Do you remember when they ceased? When they weren't anymore?
Mm. That had to have been in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm. And they would meet at people's houses?
Mm-hmm. They were, they would go around because it was always a big to-do when it was their time to have the club.
What else did they do?
Yeah.
That's about all I ever knew they did.
Social clubs.
Play cards and stuff.
Play cards.
So they rotated houses. Mm-hmm. All right. Then how, you said that it was a big to-do. What all did they do to get ready for the club coming?
Oh, Mama, she would be cleaning and cooking and... Oh, yeah, it would be a big to-do. We had to go stay with my grandmother. Now they having a club. You can't be here. Yeah.
The men, of course, weren't involved in that.
Wasn't involved in that. But later on, the men got a... They didn't have a name for it, but they would go around to each other's house, and, like, they would have dinners and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be a men's meeting.
Uh-huh.
They'd have breakfast. I can remember they would... Especially during holiday season, they'd go to different people's houses and they would have big breakfasts.
And just the men.
Just the men.
Their version of the social club.
Right.
Yeah.
Could the women belong to both of those social clubs? No, just one. Just one club. That's what you were in.
I think that's the way it went because I never knew any of them to cross over.
Yeah. Talk about the food. You said a lot of cooking going on.
Always.
What different types of food and what kind did you grow up with? What was the staples of a black household in those days? What did you have for breakfast and, you know, what were the main items of food that were
fixed? We always had, like, bacon and eggs and sausages and stuff like that. My mother liked to cook, so she would have biscuits and stuff. She'd get up early and she'd make biscuits. We'd have pancakes and then... Her and my brother's favorite breakfast was milk toast. I hated it. You'd have to really be sick to eat that stuff, but they loved it.
How's milk toast made?
It's just toast with hot milk with butter and salt and pepper, and you pour it out. It was nasty.
Not even the chipped beef on it. It was
And oatmeal and stuff like that.
What about regular food? What were the best things she cooks? Did she do fried chicken and greens?
Oh, Lord, we had fried chicken. She really didn't do a lot of greens at our house because my daddy didn't like them.
Uh-huh.
But my grandmother always did greens. That's where I'd go eat them.
Uh-huh.
But she always had, we always had like fried chicken and ham. Like people talk about country ham, you know, that was whenever you wanted it, that's what you got. And
so you had country ham just routine?
Whenever, you know, it didn't have to be Christmas.
Wasn't special, yeah. What about desserts? Was she a
baker? Oh, she loved to bake. I can remember coming home from school in the afternoons, and she would be, when she was doing day work, she'd have time to come home between jobs.
Yeah.
So she'd come home and she would bake, and we'd come home and we'd have little individual pies. Me and brother, everyone would come home for.
She put lard in her crust, or she used Crisco.
She used Crisco. She always used Crisco. Mm.
Right. Did she teach you to cook?
She let me watch. It was never enough room in the kitchen for both of us. Because she did her own thing, but I watched and I learned from watching.
Yeah. I can smell some of that cooking right now.
I can remember when I went to school in Paducah. I went down there to be a beautician, and that's what I got my license to do. And when I'd come home on the weekends and get ready to go back to school on that Sunday, we'd have like fried chicken and
a feast.
Yes, all kinds of stuff would be in, biscuits and all kinds of stuff.
Did they call you Barbara, or did you have a nickname?
I had a nickname.
It was
Tink.
Tink.
My mother gave me that before I was born.
Before you were born? What had you done to earn
I have no idea. None.
So Tink was coming home, so they were going to have a big
dinner. They had a big feast whenever I got ready to go back to school. I think they was trying to get rid of me.
Now, you mentioned Christmas. What were holidays like in your household?
Oh, Christmas was big. My daddy loved Christmas. And we would decorate everything in our house. One year, we had two Christmas trees in our living room.
Did he cut them? The cedars?
No, we had when people had those aluminum trees. Uh-huh. He had one of them. Mama had bought that, and Daddy loved the white tree. Mm-hmm. So we went to Lexington one night and got a white tree. So we had the aluminum tree on this side of the room, and the white tree was over on this side. But Christmas was always big, and he would buy all kinds of stuff. And he loved for people to come in on Christmas. So that meant he would go to the liquor store. He'd buy all kinds of liquor. It would all be all kinds of stuff there, food, all kinds of stuff. People just come in. Mm-hmm.
Just open house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Christmas Eve, it would be like, me and my brother would go to bed, and they would still have company in the house, and we'd have to go to bed. We could hear them, because I remember the year brother got a bike, and some people was in there, and they go, "Boy, that boy's going to ride tonight," and brother come running out, "I got a bike."
Did you sleep upstairs? Did your kids sleep upstairs?
All on one floor.
All on one floor.
My dad and them built a house when I was 6 years old.
How was it laid out? But how many rooms did you have?
We had 3 bedrooms. Bath, utility room, kitchen, and big living room.
It was a nice home. Mm-hmm. He built it?
VA built it.
VA did. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll talk about military in just a second then. Very good. Okay, so we had big Christmas, and everybody would come to the Short House, sounds like. What about Thanksgiving?
We always had a pretty good Thanksgiving. We didn't have as many people in the house on Thanksgiving, but we'd always have a big dinner.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents come? Or?
Sometimes my grandmother would come over. I can remember Daddy used to go hunting early in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. He used to bring rabbit home. I never did like that, but they would always cook it for breakfast. Hmm. And they'd have rabbit and biscuits and gravy and eggs and stuff.
So that was
like
Thanksgiving
that.
Tradition.
Mm-hmm. Breakfast. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then you had the big meal
afterwards.
Yeah. Later in the day. Right now. Okay.
Talk a little bit more about shopping before we get on anything else. You mentioned that you all went to Lexington to get a Christmas tree. What shopping did you do here in town as far as groceries?
Groceries.
And where, do you remember where you did that shopping?
Groceries. I remember going to the A&P.
A&P.
I remember going there faithfully. Uh-huh. Before the others came into town, because that was close.
Yeah.
And then we started at, what was it, Kroger or IGA? What was that?
Kroger.
Kroger was
okay, then we started going to Kroger after that.
Yeah, that's right. Ever go to Hood's Market up on Main Street? Mm-mm. Didn't do that. Okay.
It was closer for you to walk, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we walked everywhere.
Right. It was Kroger before it was Gateway.
Because
even
I can remember Mama getting her groceries, and she would get one of those carts and push her groceries home. Because the way Daddy worked, we never knew what time he would be home. Because he may be out on a trip, and he may not be home. So she didn't drive. So she would just push the groceries home in the grocery cart.
It was unusual for women to drive when we were growing up, wasn't it? Did your mother ever learn to drive?
Mm-mm.
She never did. Okay.
What about clothes? Where did you shop for clothes?
Well, by her working at the hair shop, that's mostly where I stopped. Where I got
you were lucky there,
stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went to the Louisville store.
Louisville store. Where did most others your age shop in town?
Louisville store, Lincoln store.
Lincoln store, those places.
Broadest?
And Broadus's. Yeah, Broadus's. Okay. And then used to get shoes there at Hamilton's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And Newberry's was always a good place to go, too, for things.
Yeah.
Right. You were talking about dressing, getting your dresses and so forth. Did you dress up for Easter? Did you get something new?
I always had an Easter outfit. Hat, gloves, whole nine yards.
Right. That was a big day.
It was always something big.
Did First Baptist Church have an Easter egg hunt for the children, or did you have one in the community anyway?
Sometimes I'd have it at church. We used to go to the park. West Lane.
West Lane. Tell us about West Lane Park. Did you go there very often? Were there swings, slides, or?
There was swings there later. We used to go over there a lot because we used to have, like, black baseball leagues. That's something we used to do on Sundays.
I'd like to hear more about those baseball leagues.
And we used
leagues.
To go over there to the ball games.
Right. how many teams did Harrodsburg have, black teams? Was it one
team? They had one team. But people would come in, like, from Danville and Springfield and Lebanon and different places to play them. But it would mostly be on Sunday afternoons. And that's where the whole community would be at that park during that ball game.
Right. Do you remember the name of the team? Okay, or any of the players?
Yeah, Woody Lay, James Pittman, E.P. Reed. Those are the ones that stand out.
James Pittman went on to become a referee. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that? What did he ref?
He did Little League a lot. I know.
Right. And basketball?
He did a little basketball too, I think. Did he do high school?
He did the elementary school.
Elementary.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, refereeing wasn't integrated enough. But I know he reffed down at Cornishville.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, Marcus Prather, always commented that it was unfortunate because he was one of the best referees he had ever seen. And he said, but there are places he can't go.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go. So he was one of the best. So you had these baseball or softball games?
Baseball.
Oh, hardball. Yeah, okay. So you went to church on Sunday, you went home and had a big dinner, and then everybody
went to the ballpark.
Then went to
everybody was at the ballpark.
Right. Did you take picnics with you?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would bring things over there to sell, like hot dogs and pop and stuff like that.
Then you went back to church?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Sunday for you?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
That's a good one. Do you recall any of the young ladies being in Girl Scouts or Brownies?
No. We weren't allowed to be in those.
Did you ever go up to the Herod Theater?
Mm-hmm. Upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
We would go upstairs, and we just throw things downstairs just for the heck of it.
My tank?
Well,
yeah. Well, was it the Saturday afternoon show or?
Most of the time we go on Sundays. And we used to have free movies. You remember those? They used to have free movies on Wednesdays, I think.
I went on weekends.
Okay, the merchants used to give away tickets,
mm-hmm.
and they would have like cartoon type, and sometimes like Lassie or something like that. But it was free, and everybody would go.
Okay.
Now tell us about the music that was going on at these dances. That for the social clubs, for example, the bands that came in, do you know what style music they were bringing in? Was it jitterbug?
It was jitterbug, mostly.
Did you ever
see? Blues.
And blues. Did we have some accomplished musicians from Harrodsburg at that time that might have been performing at the Armory when they were having their social club dances?
No. The only one I can ever remember playing with anybody was Bobby Allen. Bobby played with the groups when it would come in. I can remember Daddy and them used to get big names in, too. They like, I think Lloyd Price was here, and at that time, he was a big name. He came in. Mm-hmm.
Mm. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Did were there any local musical groups, just, you know, not professional, but that would get together?
And sing at dances?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
We've heard the Harris Brothers sing at church. Did you have any others at churches, for example?
They had a group of ladies, and I think they called themselves the Sextet. And they used to go around and sing. And that was from black ladies from all three churches. They mm-hmm. got together and they formed a group.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they would be singing gospel music. Mm-hmm. Did they just go to the black churches, or did mm-hmm. they go to the white churches? No, they didn't go to the black churches.
As it is now, Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the whole week.
Right. Now, you were talking about going to school, walking to school. Where did you start school? Where was first grade for you?
West Side.
Tell us about West Side School.
Loved it. Loved it.
Why?
I guess because for us, that was another place. That was family. Everybody looked like me. Everybody knew what we was going through. There was no difference. Everybody was the same. And it was really a comfortable place to go. And the teachers cared because they knew us.
Mm-hmm. Who was your first grade teacher?
Miss Jeanette Taylor.
Tell us about Miss Jeanette.
She was the nicest, sweetest, mild-mannered lady. She had a real soft voice. And the one thing I can remember about West Side, Over there, you had three classes in one room. So you had to learn. Mm-hmm. Because if you got your first grade, you had to be quiet while she taught second grade and third grade. So, you know, you was really learning mm-hmm. and didn't even realize you was learning.
Yeah, for the next level mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm.
Just hearing it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did your morning start off with a pledge? Or
pledge and a prayer, a scripture.
Who did the scripture and the prayer?
Different ones.
So you took turns mm-hmm. with that. Okay. Did you start school early in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about a typical school day.
We'd go early in the morning. We'd open up with the pledge and a prayer and a scripture. And then, you know, like the first grade, she would start teaching them. And the second and third grade, they would usually be doing some kind of work. She'd give them something to do mm-hmm. while she was with that group. And then we'd do that, and then we'd have recess. We'd go outside and play on the playground and come back in and start all over again. And then it would be lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to the cafeteria and eat. And we had really good food because Miss Sarah Morgan used to cook for us in that cafeteria. And we had good food. That's why we didn't want to go to high school.
You knew what you were leaving behind.
Yes. And
so she cooked hot meals?
Mm-hmm. We always had hot meals. Yeah. Yes, always. And Miss Phillips used to be over the cafeterias.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come over to check the food to make sure we was...
Yeah.
She would always be over there looking around. And Miss Sarah would have different ones of us to help her in the cafeteria. But it was really good fun.
Right. So then after recess, then it was about time to go home.
Right. And then we would walk home.
I'm hearing you calling them, and we do this all the time. Miss, were the teachers married at that time, or were they supposed to be single to be teaching?
Some of them were single.
Were they
some
all black?
Were married.
Some of them was married.
Yeah,
and but out of respect, you just did the Miss.
Call Miss, yeah.
Because you usually use their first name, not their last name. So you just do Miss Jeanette, mm-hmm. Miss Annis, you know.
What did they do for discipline when it was necessary?
Oh, that's when you could still spank. Yes.
Right.
That's when you could still spank. Plus, you knew if you got it at school, if you got in trouble at school, they was going to call your parents. And you was going to get it when you got home.
Mm-hmm.
But at Westside, in the gym, when you walked in the door, there was the gym. And there was great big circles where they played basketball. If you get really, really bad, you would be sitting out there to stand in that circle all day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Westside always had some very good teams that played. And I'm speaking of the first through the eighth grades mm-hmm. here. But Westside was always in the county championship game, it seemed, with Harrodsburg. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's unusual when they didn't. Do you remember some of the games? And were you a cheerleader?
Yes. I was a cheerleader in the... Eighth grade.
Who were the other cheerleaders with you?
Diane Williams, Dolores Hudson, Nita Reed, Roberta Cunningham. Who else was that on that end? One more. I can't think of what it was now. I got the picture somewhere.
What were your school colors?
Black and gold. It was called the Scalpers.
What's the origin of that name? Do you know?
Mm-mm. It was the name when my mother went to Westside. Mm-hmm. So we just carried it on.
Yeah.
And when we were cheerleaders, we found the old cheerleading uniforms from the last high school group was still there. So we got them and had them altered. And we used those.
Huh.
So the 8th, 7th, and 8th graders had the uniforms from the seniors, juniors and seniors, mm-hmm. altered. Okay. Do you remember, and I'm going back in time, do you remember a cheer that you had for Westside?
Mm-hmm.
Could you share it with us?
Oh, Lord.
We won't expect you to jump in the air or do anything that you would have done with that.
I'm trying to think of one that I can say. Oh, my heavens.
We are Westside. Couldn't be prouder.
Oh, yeah. We are Westside. Couldn't be prouder. If you can't hear us, we'll yell a little louder. You know, we kept going on and on and on like that. And we was good at doing flips and splits.
Really?
Yeah, Wilma was our teacher, was over us.
Oh.
So we had to do everything because she was really gymnastic, man.
Did they teach that PE in school, or is that just something you learned?
We did it after school.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have PE at Westside.
Okay.
We didn't get that till we went to Harrisburg.
But you learned your cartwheels and tumbling after school with the cheerleading group. Right. Did you try out for a cheerleader?
Yeah. A bunch of us tried out over there, and they picked, I don't know how they chose them, but they came back and told us who was going to be it.
Now, when you were playing your games, where did you go? Did you play just the county schools, or did you go outside the county?
Just play county.
The Salvisa, McAfee, Cornishville, this type of thing. Travel there. And beat us. I will have to say that you always had great teams. Who were some of the players? Do you remember?
Frank Bartleston, Ansel Smith, Freddie Brown, Melvin Brown, Van Brown. Those are the ones I really know.
Now, when they went on to Harrisburg, did they play on the teams there?
Frank, Melvin, Freddie. Remember if Raymond Melvin and played basketball, they might have played football.
Were there other athletic opportunities for blacks in Harrisburg, particularly girls? Did you have the women? Right. There were no women's softball teams or basketball teams. You were a cheerleader, and then...
Then we went to Harrisburg, and we couldn't do nothing.
Tell us about... You graduated from eighth grade at Westside.
We had a big graduation.
I want to hear all about that graduation.
We even had a prom.
Eighth grade prom?
Mm-hmm.
We had a school?
And we had a live band.
Wow.
Who was it?
It was a group from Frankfort. And we had a commencement. And we all got dressed up, and we marched down through the...
Yeah.
It was really nice.
The prom for an eighth grade, and you had a band from Frankfort come in. Where did you have the prom?
In the gym.
At Westside? Right. So, do you remember who your commencement speaker was right off the bat?
I think it was the principal.
How many were in your graduating class from eighth grade?
I think there was, let me count them. About that.
So we graduate from eighth grade, West Side.
Then we cried that whole time because we knew what was facing us.
Tell us how you felt. You're going to go to Harrisburg.
We hated it. We hated it.
Why did you hate it?
Because we already knew from the groups that had gone before us what was facing us.
So what was the word that had come back to you all?
That we're going to go up there. And you're not going to be treated fairly. It's over. You know, you're going up there, it's over.
Yeah.
Whatever you did, you can forget it because you're not going to be able to do it. Especially the girls, you don't have a chance.
Really?
And later in life, I'd say maybe two or three years ago, I'm still active with my class, my high school group. We was organizing our reunion. And one of my classmates, Larry Barnett, so he lives in Harrisburg too, so we talk a lot. And he called me and says, Barbara, we need some pictures of you all when you was in high school for our reunion, doing something. And I said, Larry, think about it.
What did we do?
We didn't do anything. I said, you all act like we weren't there.
Yeah.
And he thought about it, and he sent me, and I should have saved it. He sent me an email. He says, Barbara, I want to apologize to you for not even thinking about what we were doing to you. I said, but you know, I want to thank you for what you did do for us. As a group, you made us stronger.
Because of the adversity, the way you were treated.
We had to become stronger, and we had to become one. I said, as a group, we're strong. Nothing could break us apart, because this is the way we had to be.
Was it personal, on a personal level when you got there, or was it just as a whole, students who came
as a whole
just didn't have any opportunities presented to them?
As a whole.
So the school had already been integrated for several years when you got there.
Right.
Okay. For at least 3 or 4 years anyway. So there were still some feelings of not
welcome. It was like we were there and that was it. We were there because we had to be there.
Yeah.
They had no other choice. They didn't know what to do with us.
Yeah.
So they couldn't send us anywhere. So they sent us up there, and we were just there.
Now, the boys, of course, they were going to play on, if they were talented in sports.
The boys had a better chance than the girls.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wondering, if there was a difference between the girls. The boys had a better chance than the girls. Right.
Because of sports.
Did you intermingle with any of the whites?
We tried. We tried. As much as possible.
Yeah, they really weren't interested. Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you know, you get to the point where you go, I don't have to force myself on anyone. Yeah. So, you know, I just get the ones that want to be friends with me, they can be friends. And the ones that don't, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Now, Harrodsburg offered a lot of extracurricular activities, such as band and clubs like the Beta Club, you know, and so forth. Were you ever invited to learn an instrument to play in the band?
I didn't
want to
play in band.
But could you? If you had wanted to.
During that time, I don't know if any black kids that was in the band.
Well, I can't remember any black kids
in the band.
And I don't know whether if there had been somebody.
I can't remember any of them even taking band.
They would surely have had to have been incorporated into it.
And I think it's because the fact that most of the kids that was already there had been in elementary school.
Right, yeah, they had some basis.
And we had learned,
and you didn't have any experience.
And exposure to the flutophones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prior, so they already had a headway on it. Mm-hmm. Talk about school dances.
Oh, they were fun. They was really fun. Because their group was there, and our group was here. And we would dance in our group, and they would dance in their group. I didn't even go to my junior prom. On my senior prom, I refused to go.
Because
it was so, it was just crazy. I mean, you know, you go and you act like you weren't really, you wanted there, so why go?
Yeah. So your overall take on that would be you just were kind of ignored.
We were. We were there just because we had to be there.
But people were just looking through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not even tolerated, just ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you were smart enough to be in the Beta Club, you had been you would have been ignored, basically.
So your high school days were not quite as memorable as maybe some others.
That's why when we have reunions now, and I'm on a committee, and I'll try to get everybody that I know from my group to come. Half of them won't come, just for that reason. They said they didn't treat us right when we was in school. So why should I travel back for a reunion?
Mm-hmm. Were there many from West Side who just dropped out of school at 8th grade because they just didn't want to go
They on? Didn't drop out at 8th because they couldn't. Uh-huh. But as soon as they got old enough, they dropped out after they got up there.
And you don't think that would have happened if they had been in a black school or other opportunity?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Yeah.
We're starting to get into the early 60s here, because you graduated in 64.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Civil Rights Act is going to be signed in 64, the federal one. Politically speaking, do you remember what was going on in your household when there were talks about civil rights and equality? Do you remember your mom and dad talking about that?
Oh, my dad was very political. And he always felt like, you know, don't let anyone push you back because you're just as good as the next person. So they shouldn't be making those kind of decisions on what you do with your life. That's your decision to make. Shouldn't anyone stop you?
So you were hearing political activism
all the time,
growing up. Okay. In March of 1964, you were one of the students from Harrodsburg High School who traveled to Frankfort to participate in the Freedom March with Dr. Martin Luther King and Jackie Robinson. 10,000 persons were there in spite of cold, sleet, rainy weather. You were lobbying for the passage of a law granting equality in public accommodations in Kentucky. Barbara, would you please share the days leading up to that march? How did you find out they were coming? How did you decide you wanted to go?
Well, it was about an announcement was sent to our church. See, everything in the black community stems from your church.
So where did the announcement come from? From
a group in Frankfort.
Ruben?
Probably the NAACP, okay. I would say.
And that would have gone to
all the churches.
Yeah.
And from there, they asked us if we would be interested in going. And everybody said yes. you know, we want it to go. So the morning, I mean, the weeks, the days leading up to there, they got, made sure we had transportation there, and we had supervisor, you know, chaperones to go, to be with us. So everybody that wanted to go, we was talking about it at school, and they had already told us, you know, if you leave and go, when you come back, you're probably getting an excused absence. So we didn't pay no attention. We was going anyway. So we went on down there, and I remember that morning after we got, before we left, we had prayer, and we sung in the back of the church before we got ready to get on the bus. And we sung all the way down there on the bus because we just couldn't wait to get there. And we got there, and we saw all of these people. It was just mesmerizing because we had never seen that many people at one time other than on TV, because I did watch the entire march, the first one. In 63.
In Washington, D.C.
I watched that. And so when we got down there, I remember they got us off the bus and we all got in groups getting ready to march because we had to wait because it was delayed. And it was raining. So we got near, we went over there and we got near Kentucky State because Wilma was up there. And we got over there near them so we could be with people that we knew.
Yeah.
So we got over there near a bunch of people that we knew. And we got ready to march, and then we got in line and we walked up the street singing and talking and hollering and just.
And you all stayed together, though.
Our whole group, we never got apart.
Were you a senior in high school this time? So you were old enough to know what was going on here. About how many were on that bus?
Going to Frankfurt that day?
Yes.
I've been trying to remember. I would say there had to have been about 20, 25, no more than 30.
And these would have been students?
Mostly students, some adults.
Any white people?
No.
No.
Now, adults who wanted to go to the march but not ride on the bus.
Went in their cars.
Went in their cars, and that came in handy.
When the bus left.
Yeah.
So you got in with them and came back to Harrodsburg. Okay, tell us about. Okay, you're marching down the street. What was your reception along the path of the march?
You know, I've heard people talk about the Klan hollering and stuff. I can't remember that. Now, it might have happened, but personally, I can't remember. I guess because I was so engrossed in what was going on this way. When I'm thinking about something this way, I very seldom pay any attention to this way.
Right.
Because I felt like we're in this group. Nobody's going to bother us. They're not crazy enough to jump in this group of people and start anything today.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's, you know, my focus was on what was going on in front of me more so than.
Right. How close were you to the platform where Dr. King was going to speak?
I said, like, the platform was, like, right here in front of me. I was standing off to my right.
So pretty close.
Pretty close to the front.
You got a view of
him. Yeah, because we let a bunch of them crowded up, but we just kind of broke off and went to the side where you could really see. Because everybody was trying to get directly in front. But there was room over here on this side, so we just kind of walked over and stood in that area.
Right. That Capitol Avenue. Mm-hmm. So as I'm looking at the Capitol, you're over toward the right of the platform. Tell me how you felt when Dr. King came through the crowd and went up the steps.
Amazed. I'm thinking, this is a one-in-a-lifetime thing. I'll probably never relive anything like this again in my whole entire life. And it was true.
Then when he started talking, what did the crowd do?
They started cheering and just everything.
Why was he special?
Because everyone has a leader. And for us, he was like the coming of God to the black people.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. It was the next coming of God for us.
For you all.
Because that was the only deliverance that we was going to have.
Yeah.
It was either now or never.
Right. Had you ever heard of Rosa Parks?
Yes. I had studied all that. In my house, you had to do that. My daddy made sure we stayed up on history and stuff. Uh-huh. So you had to stay up on that.
Yeah. Did your mother have any concerns about you going?
No.
She was behind it also. Just not as vocal as your dad.
No, not as vocal. Because we've been so used to so much because... My brother was always having people from Frankfurt in our living room. You know, he would go uptown and do something and he wasn't supposed to, they didn't want to let him do it. So he'd get on the phone, call up Frankfurt, and we'd come home from work. There'd be people from Frankfurt all sitting in the living room talking to him. So we got used to all that craziness.
Yeah. Were other families like yours in that respect? That
most of them.
By this time, they most were openly being mm-hmm. more active about mm-hmm. this?
Yeah.
Had you experienced firsthand, and we'll get back to the march in just a second, had you experienced firsthand discrimination in Harrodsburg, or when you went to Lexington, for example? I know there were places.
Yeah, where you couldn't eat at the counter. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd go shopping, and you couldn't eat at the counter. There are stores you couldn't go in. Mm-hmm. I remember you couldn't go in Bloomingdale's. I mean, Bloom, where was that, Bloom?
There was Lowenthal's.
Lowenthal's, and there was another one. Blooming something over there. It was about
Bloomfields.
It might have been.
There was a Bloomfields.
That was it. We couldn't go in there. And we couldn't go in Embry's.
Yeah.
You know.
Were there signs posted, or was this just common knowledge?
Well, I guess some blacks had started in there, and they told them they couldn't come in there.
But there weren't any signs in the windows.
But the word had spread.
It was just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not invited.
It's one of them things where it's known, so don't go there.
Yeah.
I remember being in those stores, and at that time, the only black person you would see would be the elevator operator.
The elevator operator, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All day long, up and down, which floor, floor, yes.
And she couldn't buy a thing in there.
So that's why you had a lot of people at your house. This was when the movement was beginning to take hold. It was a chance. It really was.
Yeah.
Did your parents go to Frankfort on the march?
No.
They Did your dad work. Want to go?
Yeah, he wanted to, but he had to work.
He had to work and just couldn't.
Gosh. Okay, so you listened to the speeches, you listened to the music. Then they were going to, what happened with the crowd? What were they wanting to see, the governor?
They was wanting to see the governor.
Right.
But he never did come out of the, he never did come down. I guess it was planned that way, because he was going to meet with them later. Uh-huh. The next day. So it might have been planned that way, but the people didn't realize this. And when they was asking about all the stuff that they needed here in the state of Kentucky, they kept chanting, you know, we want the governor, we want the governor, you know. Right. And he never did come out.
Did any of the bands, like Kentucky State or Dunbar and Lexington, did any of them participate? Did they march?
Mm-hmm.
They played music mm-hmm. as they came through. You were saying Wilma was at Kentucky State, so was she a year ahead of you?
Wilma was, I'm trying to think.
Wilma
back.
Wilma was in my class.
Mm-hmm. Wilma came back.
It was 2 years.
Mm-hmm. She came back for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you met her up at Kentucky mm-hmm. State.
Oh. And plus we knew a lot of her friends that we had met through her was there too.
Right, so you had a pretty good delegation there mm-hmm. representing Mercer County, didn't mm-hmm. you? Were there any persons from the county per se, from Mercer County High School, any of the, it was Harrodsburg that was there? Okay. So you had the march, you heard the speeches. Now, it's time to go back to Harrodsburg. What had happened?
Well, before he even spoke, they came and told us the bus driver's got to leave. And I'm going... I haven't heard what I came down here to hear. And Sister Marie Hunn, she says, honey, don't worry about it. You can ride home with me. I said, thank you. She says, I'll take as many as I can in my car. Mm-hmm. She says, and I'm going someplace and call somebody and tell them to bring some more cars down here to pick up any kids that want to stay. Mm-hmm. She says, because I don't want you all to miss this. This is the reason we made sure you got here. So that's how, you know, we was kind of upset, you know, but he had told us, you know, if you don't come out there, we're going to have to leave and go pick up the kids. And I'm thinking, well, why couldn't you all have made arrangements to say, you know, right. in case something happens, you know, nothing ever goes 1, 2, 3. Something may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have to go to 4. And we don't have no backup plan here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the school wasn't paying for that bus ride, so somebody
we
did.
We paid for that.
You paid for it.
The church paid for it.
But you only got a one way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, so we think if there were about 20 that were on the bus, that was 20 people that had to have a ride back home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so you come back home. It was what? In the evening.
Yeah, it was late.
It was late. Okay, now, that was on a Thursday. You got up and you went to school the next day. What happened?
We went to school. Well, we talked about it all the way walking to school about the march.
Yeah.
Oh. So we got to school. We went in the office. And presented our excuses that our parents had written. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Pelser says, you'll get to take, you get an unexcused absence. And I'm going, I don't think so.
Did you say that to her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our office said, we said, oh, no, we're not going to take this.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't do anything to deserve an unexcused absence. This is an educational thing right here.
Absolutely.
We should have gotten, they shouldn't even ask any questions about that. So she says, well, I'm sorry. They said that we couldn't give you an excused absence for being absent because it wasn't necessary that you went. It may not have been necessary for you, but it was necessary mm-hmm. for me, so I went. So I said, okay. And they, some of them got to crying, and I remember one of my girlfriends, she got all upset. She goes, I can't get an F for the day. I said, you're not going to get one. I said, just give me a minute. So I called my daddy. He was at work. Mm-hmm. And daddy had some friends that was in Frankfurt because he had worked with the movement. He had worked with Community Action and all these groups. He's active with all of them.
Uh-huh.
So he called some people that he knew. And they said, well, Dr. King's still here. So tell them not to go to class. Just don't cause any confusion. If you have to, go sit in the office and just do whatever you want, read or whatever. So we just hung out. We did a boycott in the office. And didn't go to class. So later on in that day, they called. Somebody called from Frankfurt. And the next thing you know, we got excused absences.
So you don't really know
what happened.
What happened, mm-hmm. but it
they
did
never
happen.
Did say. They never did tell us.
But yeah. There was intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And so who did Mrs. Pelser then?
Yeah, she came back. She said, you all can get excused absences. You can go to class tomorrow.
Who was principal at the time?
I think it was Mr. Kamek.
Were you allowed to share your experiences in the march in
no.
any of your social study classes?
No.
Nobody showed any interest?
They didn't
no
care.
Teacher
they didn't care
any
whether we went or not.
Were there any incidents in the school system that let you know that any civil rights activity would not be welcome? Was there a burning?
Oh, they had that before they even went up there.
Tell us about that.
The year they integrated, the night before the kids went to school up there, I was still at West Side in grade school, but they brought a cross up there to the high school.
So who was they? Just a group of students?
Some of the students and their parents.
In the front of the high school?
In the park, around the side there, I think.
Around the side? Right. I've never heard of that.
I remember hearing something about that, yes. Right. It was just a warning, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes did you feel like warnings were made to for you not to assume too much or not to feel like you were welcome? Or
you never really felt welcome, but you knew it was something you had to do mm-hmm. because we had been taught, you know, you don't give up, you keep on going.
Right.
So that's why we traveled in, as we called it, wolf packs.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go anywhere ones. We went in twos and threes. If someone had to go to the restroom, somebody went with them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go anywhere by ourselves.
So it wasn't as much about socializing. It was more security.
Mm-hmm.
That the last graduating class at West Side was 56, mm-hmm. and they started intergrading in the high school mm-hmm. in 56, 57. So that would have been the fall of 56. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're thinking mm-hmm. that cross would have been? Because mm-hmm. I know integration was going on through the South so much. What about your own personal involvement in politics? Do you remember when you registered to vote?
As soon as I was old enough.
It was not uncommon for women to feel uncomfortable when they went to vote. Did you ever feel uncomfortable at the voting place or your precinct as a black woman going in to vote?
No, because that was my right.
Right.
You can take a lot of stuff away from me, mm-hmm. but that's my right.
Nobody was hassling you all mm-hmm. in any way.
Were your precinct workers white or black?
Some of them were black, because as I got older, I worked.
Mm-hmm.
Where was your precinct that you voted?
Courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Were
we always got a little hassling up there, you know. There's always somebody trying to say something about it.
Right. And at the courthouse, the bathrooms were segregated, mm-hmm. so were the water fountains. Mm-hmm. Just remember seeing that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like at the fairground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Did you tell us about the fairground? Was it where, did you have a special place you could sit?
Mm-hmm. We sit, everybody sit, when you'd walk up from the side, we sit on that end of the grandstand. Mm-hmm. Every black person sit there in that one area. Mm-hmm. We wasn't allowed any farther over.
So while Jackrabbit Bottoms was winning awards and driving,
we were sitting in that one area.
You were sitting in another area. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, what, when you, tell us about your high school graduation. What happened then?
Graduation went pretty good. They had a party that night. We didn't go to it.
Why am I not surprised at that?
We had a party of our own.
Okay.
So we didn't, after we graduated, we all got together and we went out on our own. Because I think they went, if I'm not mistaken, I think they got in the car because they was wild. Our group was wild. Mm-hmm. They went to Paraville, I think, to the battlefield. I don't know for what. But, they went there. We went back. We rode over that way, and we came on back home, and we had a party of our own.
Right. Did anybody ever go to the Black Cherry Club down in Lebanon?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, was that a part of what you did in high school?
No, it was after I got out of high
after
school.
After you got out of high school.
Yeah, they had everybody down there.
I know, like a Tina Turner played.
Oh, yes, everybody played it. If he was a artist, you played in Lebanon.
Yeah. So were there a big contingent of people that would routinely go down there?
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Now,
that was one of them, too.
Yeah. Well, let's establish, there was Club 68 for
yeah.
the whites.
Yeah,
the
and there was Club Cherry and the Horseshoe.
And the Horseshoe.
But Club Cherry was for the blacks.
Right.
Did, down on Water Street.
Did the whites come to Black Cherry to hear good music?
They tried. They would come in sometime.
I never tried. The Horseshoe was my place.
But they did. They had everybody that was ever anybody during that time was at Club Cherry.
Yeah.
How'd you dress to go down to Club Cherry?
Oh, you dressed up.
Dressed to the nines.
Yeah, because people don't dress like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I can remember, you go out, to you put on a nice dress, you'd have heels and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Some women even wore hats.
No. To go to Club Cherry. Mm-hmm. Motown or the Beatles?
Motown. Still Motown.
What was your favorite song to dance to, Tink? Otis Redding.
I like the Temps, and I like Smokey. I still mm-hmm. do.
Did you ever see them in person?
Yeah.
Did you? Where yeah, did you man. See them?
No, I saw the Temptations, the original Temptations. I saw them in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And I saw Smokey in Louisville, and I saw him not long ago at Center College.
Yeah, he was over there. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that, but yeah, he was there.
Okay, you've graduated, and what about the prom? Did you go to the prom?
I didn't go to my senior prom. Mm-hmm.
Did you have class night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just lost all of its fun because mm-hmm. it wasn't West Side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did you do after you graduated? From high school, where did you, what about your education?
I went to West Kentucky Vocational School in Paducah.
I've heard several say that. Mm-hmm. Were there no beauty schools close by for black women or men? You had to go to West Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. That was the closest one here in Kentucky.
And that was exclusively a black school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that where Miss Francis went?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got your training. How long did you have to go to school?
We had to do 11 months. We lived on campus.
Mm-hmm. Did they have dormitories? Mm-hmm. Did you come home every weekend?
Mm-mm, it's too far.
Did you have a car down there?
No.
Were you able to drive by then?
Mm-mm. It was always, some of the guys we knew lived in Lexington. We'd ride home with some of them, or somebody's parent would come pick them up. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, we'd catch a ride with some of the people that lived in Lexington. Because that was just so far for our parents. I worked, you know, mm-hmm. for them to have to come down there and get us.
A long trip.
What town was that close to?
Paducah.
Paducah. You said, I'm sorry. Where did you do your apprentice?
With Frances.
How long did you work for her?
About a year.
Then did you go to work for another shop, or did you start your own shop?
No, I worked a little bit. And then I saw, well, then by that time I got pregnant and I had a son, so I knew I had to go to work. See, unlike these women that go for welfare, I knew I had to go to work. Mm-hmm. So I went to work at Corning.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Right. When did you get married?
In 72.
And what was
your husband? Had an anniversary. I've been married 42 years.
Congratulations. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a record these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
My husband's name's Larry.
Larry, mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And how many children do you have?
Three. Well, four. Right. Oh, yeah, we got a stepdaughter. Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does Larry do?
He worked in a factory. Yeah. He served time. He went to Vietnam.
I'd like to hear more about Vietnam, the military service in your family. What branch did he serve in?
Army.
Infantry?
And he was more like in telecommunications.
What were his experiences at Vietnam, or does he talk about that?
He didn't talk about it, because Larry has the
post-traumatic syndrome. Uh-huh. Yes. Mm. Were you married when he left Vietnam, or had he already been to Vietnam?
No, he'd already been, and it's bad.
PTSD.
Mm-hmm. And we just found out here lately that, I knew when we got married that something wasn't right, because he'd jump up in the middle of the night and he'd just have him cold sweats and just crazy acting. Mm-hmm. And he stopped doing that. But up until maybe 2 years ago was when he was finally diagnosed with that.
Really? Just that recently?
Because it affected his, where he got hit with Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. And we'd been trying to get his money for that and we couldn't. But he had two heart attacks within 2 weeks. And when we got to the hospital, they told us that he had had a heart attack before, and he never remembered having one, and I never remembered him having one. And come to find out that what was wrong with his heart came from Agent Orange, because they had documented it and put it on their mm-hmm. website, but they had never announced it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when Larry got sick, my daughter was doing some research. Mm-hmm. And she ran up on it. So we went to his heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is it. This is really? This is all of it right here.
Yeah, it's classic. Right. Now, is Larry Hudson from Mercer County?
He's from Lawrenceburg.
Lawrenceburg. Mm-hmm. So that's why you live in Lawrenceburg. Mm-hmm. Is he a native of Lawrenceburg, mm-hmm. I guess? Okay. So he went to Vietnam and then came home. And then you all got married. Mm-hmm. Where were you married?
Here in my house at home.
Who was the minister?
Reverend Smith.
So tell us about your children, their names, and where are they?
Well, I've got our oldest daughter, her name's April, and she lives in Versailles, and she works for state government. My oldest son, his name's Brian, he lives in Florence, and he works for a telecommunication company. And my middle son, Larry Jr., he lives in Lexington, works in Wilmore. He monitors security doors for this company. He's over a group of people that do that. Mm-hmm. And Latice, my youngest one, she works for Kentucky Housing.
Now, were you a work-at-home mom the whole time they were growing up? Notice I'm saying work-at-home, not stay-at-home, because there's no such thing as just stay-at-home and not work.
Now, I worked for Texas Instruments. I worked there for 20... I worked for Corning for 5 years, and then we moved to Lawrenceburg, and I babysit at home because I had kids, and I said, I might as well capitalize off of this, so I babysat at home. And then I went to work for Texas Instruments, and I worked there for 23 years till they closed.
Have you remained politically active since your high school days?
Yes, I used to belong. I don't belong to them now. I used to belong to the Democratic women there in Lawrenceburg.
What about the NAACP?
I haven't been a member of that for a while, mainly because there's no more in that area that close to me, and I don't go to Frankfort that much.
Do you think Dr. King's dream has been fulfilled?
Part of it.
More to be done?
There's a whole lot more to be done.
What would you like to see?
I would like to see the fact that when he said about little black girls and little black boys, that's becoming true because it's so much intermingling. There's only going to be one race before it's over with anyway.
Yeah.
But just to be equal.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened.
Right. Pastor Short said that in his speech about looking at there were little black boys, little playing with little black girls. He said that at the Martin Luther King Day community speech. So, and I thought that was a good way to kind of describe that.
Do you see young people that were the age when your dad was active and you all went to Frankfort? Do you see young people that age today with those same feelings? They're not they're not strong.
They've lost a dream.
They've lost it. Did they ever have it?
They never had it. And I think it's because somewhere in between generations, somebody's dropped the ball, lost something, because so much stuff has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids now take so much for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell man all the time, you know, yes, you can do this and you can do that, but this is not the way it always was.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're there, you're doing what you're doing because you're standing on the shoulders
mm-hmm.
of people that come long before you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have gotten killed, beaten, and everything, so you can do half the things that you're doing.
Right.
Do you think it's important for us to do these type of,
yes.
like, history projects?
We do. And, like, this month in our church, every Sunday we're doing Black History.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are doing something. Tomorrow, I think my little great-nephew is going to do the speech, the I Have a Dream speech. He's been memorizing it, and I think he's going to do it.
Do you still go to First Baptist, or do you go to Centennial?
I like the Centennial.
Centennial. Mm-hmm. Your brother is pastor.
Yeah, I moved, and I joined a church in Lawrenceburg. And then I moved my membership back, and when I did, I moved to Centennial.
So you all will be having some kind of special service tomorrow for Black
You've been
History.
Doing it all week, all month.
Yeah. I wish I had known that, because I would like to have recorded mm-hmm. some of those.
The kids have been doing Black History all month. They've, with the music that they've been singing, they do some history.
Yeah.
Last Sunday was athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They picked different athletes to do. They've done something different every Sunday. But this Sunday, I think, brother was telling me yesterday that my little nephew's going to do the I Have a Dream speech.
That's wonderful.
I might have to go to that.
Right.
That would be good. Do the young people, like you say, we're trying to stress Black history. Do they want to be black, or do they just want to be a person? Do they care anymore?
They don't care. They just want to be a person.
Just want to be.
They want to be a
man or a woman.
They want to be a man or a woman, and they want to be respected for who they are.
Right, for who they are. And they're not so much interested in mm-hmm. in being black.
Because to them now, there is no color.
Right.
The only reason there's color is because we've still got a group of people that are still locked back in them years.
Yeah.
And they can't let go of it.
Right. They were raised that way.
And it's just in them.
They get over it,
They can't let go.
Yeah.
But for every one of them that won't let go, if they look back in their family,
mm-hmm.
in their recent family, there's a biracial child there.
Yeah. Do you think of yourself as a woman or a black woman?
A woman.
A woman. Yeah.
I see black.
Yeah,
but, I'm a woman.
But yeah, absolutely. Let me go back to Corning. What year did you start at Corning?
Let me think now. 69.
Mm-hmm. And they were just advertising for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And. How many black people were working there?
When I went down there?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Was it quite a few?
It was quite a few.
Quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a good work environment?
Yeah.
Was there
it was still, you know, you have that everywhere you go. You get to the point where you're just used to it.
Yeah.
And you're just paying attention to it.
Okay.
And the same in Versailles when you were over there.
Same
thing.
It's wherever you go.
They needed help. That's what it's about.
Yeah. You know, I tell them all the time, when I work someplace like that, I'm not working to win friends and influence people. I'm working for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So the rest of it is just to get, you know, it's an added something.
Yeah.
That's not the reason I go there.
Yeah.
How did you react, or how did you feel when President Barack Obama was elected?
I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I cried. The night when the first election, I was sitting in the living room and we was watching the numbers and I'm going, I'm just getting up. I don't think I can take this any longer. I got up and I walked the hall and Larry said, sit down, you're making me nervous. And when they finally announced him as the winner, all I could do was sit down and cry. Because I never in my lifetime did I ever think that I would see a black president. I never. And they've treated that man like a dog.
Well, that's true.
What was your dad a role model for you as far as we can make changes? Mm-hmm. Did you have other role models? Dr. King, I'm sure, but locally, were there other people that you really respected and admired growing up?
Most of our my teachers, because they always told us that you could do, you know, you can be anything you want to be. You just have to keep pushing for it. The teachers that I had at West Ad, they left an everlasting. One in particular, Miss Claire Clallam, she was the principal of West Ad, and she always told us, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do anything. You can do anything you want to do. You just have to put some effort in it and do it.
So that message still resonates in your ears. What message would you give to the future generations?
You can do anything you want to do.
Same message.
If you persevere. You just can't
give up.
You just can't say, they're looking at me because I'm black. No, they're not looking at you that way because you're black. They're looking at you like that because you're acting stupid. You act stupid, people are going to look at you stupid. You can do what you want to do, but you got to straighten up to do it. There's a way to do it.
Anna, do you have any further questions?
Been a great interview, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking time to talk to us. We have so much history that we need to cover, and when Barbara Short Hudson comes in and shares that history, that helps us all learn a little bit more, and we've learned a lot today.
Thank you.
We sure have.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't think I had anything to add to it.